Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 54 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Peyton Stewart.
We were able to save, have minimal damage to the structures behind the building, and able to keep it contained to this one building.
A man is badly burned and hospitalized after a large fire in Laurel County.
The identity of a Boyd County Detention Center inmate who died has been released.
A Louisville teacher has been arrested on drunk driving charges.
The Attorney General says pharmaceutical companies should be held accountable for misleading the public.
A report shows a rise in uninsured children in Kentucky.
In sports, the Eagles broke a three-way losing streak.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
100% chance of showers late. Lows around 49 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Laurel County man is in the hospital after being badly burned in a fire. WYMT reports firefighters responded to a commercial building off Slate Ridge Road around 4 p.m. yesterday. Authorities are not sure how the fire started, but think that cars inside the building may have fueled the blaze. Officials say the man burned in the fire was not inside when they arrived and was likely burned from trying to re-enter the building. Ed Limley is with the Lilly Fire Department.
Upon arrival, the building was fully involved, with flames endangering structures behind it, as well as endangering the people that were trying to save the building.
Limley says due to the quick response from all three fire departments at the scene, the fire was kept contained and no other buildings were affected. As for the man found at the scene, his name and condition have not been reported.
The Rowan County Sheriff says the arrest of the mayor of Moorhead was due to a clerical error. Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent was arrested Wednesday for violating a domestic violence order that has been in place against him in Fayette County. Sheriff Matt Sparks says when he went to make the arrest, he believed that there was some mistake.
At the time that he is allegedly violated the DVO, the DVO was not had been dismissed. I truly think, as I was telling this Lexington reporter, based on the paperwork, the court order he had in his possession, I think it's a paperwork error in Fayette County. I really do.
Trent was released on a $3,000 cash bond. No court date has been set in the case. Mayor Trent has declined to comment on the incident.
The identity of an inmate who died at the Boyd County Detention Center has been released. Officials say 40-year-old Michael Moore was found deceased yesterday morning. LEX 18 reports he was behind bars for public intoxication. An autopsy was scheduled for this morning to determine a cause of death. There are reportedly no clear signs of foul play so far. The Kentucky State Police are handling the investigation.
A Louisville teacher has been arrested after police say she was driving while her blood alcohol content was four times over the legal limit. WKYT reports 40-year-old Sarah Villarreal was arrested Tuesday after driving her car off the road. Police say Villarreal's 2-year-old girl was in the back seat during the incident. Police report reveals that she was inside the car, behind the wheel, with the keys in the ignition, but the car was not running. Villarreal denied having anything to drink. However, police say they found several empty wine bottles in the car. Villarreal is a fifth-grade teacher at Fraser Elementary School.
Michigan police arrested three people in connection with an Eastern Kentucky man's murder. WYMT reports Tyler McNeil, Kayla Cheney, and Theron Hunt are due in court on December 4th. Police believed the trio robbed and killed Kevin Johnson earlier this month at a trailer in Flowerfield Township in Michigan. Johnson was a truck driver originally from Wheelwright in Floyd County.
A new study found that Kentucky ranks fifth in the nation for overdose deaths in 2017. The study was conducted by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Overdose deaths for the last year in the Commonwealth totaled 70,203. The CDC compared states based on overdose deaths per 100,000 people, and Kentucky scored 37.2, 15 points above the national average. Hope Center Director of Development Carrie Thayer spoke with WKYT, saying there was a 45% jump in cases involving synthetic drugs like heroin.
What we've been seeing recently are more of our clients coming in with heroin being their drug of choice. What happens is the heroin from the streets that they're buying from the streets is mixed with possibly fentanyl.
Thayer recommends that anyone struggling with addiction and drug use to immediately seek help when they are willing to make a change in their lives. She says taking action as soon as possible could prevent future overdoses from happening.
We'll be back with more news right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
State Representative Jill York has yet to make a final decision to pursue a recount. WMKY's Shamari Mosley has the story.
York lost her recent race against Kathy Hinkle. The Democrat beat York by a 5-vote margin for the 96th district seat. According to the Daily Independent, York says she is seeking more information before deciding to do a recount. She says she in no way doubts the Carter or Lawrence County clerks, poll workers, or anyone else associated with the election process. However, she understands that electronic equipment and technology is not always fully functioning. If a recount is issued, York says the Republican Party would be responsible for paying for it. Jacob Dotson, spokesperson for Hinkle's campaign, said the campaign is committed to every lawful vote being counted and also has full confidence in the county clerk's offices. For WMKY News, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Kentucky lawmakers are trying to avoid another cloud of sexual harassment complaints from overtaking the start of the upcoming General Assembly session. Representative Kelly Flood of Lexington has pre-filed legislation meant to protect state legislative employees from sexual harassment. Spectrum News reports the bill would prohibit legislators from using taxpayer dollars to settle harassment complaints, while granting sexual harassment oversight to the Legislative Ethics Commission. The bill would also create a tip line and a 30-day complaint process while requiring annual public reporting on the number of complaints and actions taken. The bill is similar to one pre-filed in September by Republican State Representatives Kim Fleming of Louisville and Kimberly Moser of Taylor Mill. The beginning of 2018 General Assembly began with GOP Speaker Jeff Hoover embroiled in a sexual harassment scandal, eventually causing him to step down as Speaker.
Kentucky's Attorney General wants to hold pharmaceutical companies accountable for misleading the public on the potential side effects of drugs. Canon's Haley Hansen reports.
Andy Beshear is joining a group of bipartisan attorneys general in signing the Friend of the Court brief filed in the United States Supreme Court. The AGs argue that pharmaceutical company Merck can be held liable for misleading and misrepresenting the side effects of an osteoporosis preventative drug. Beshear has filed 9 opioid-related lawsuits against pharmaceutical manufacturers and distributors for violating state law and directly contributing to the state's opioid epidemic. I'm Haley Hansen.
A new report shows a rise in numbers of uninsured children across the nation and in Kentucky. According to a report from Georgetown University from 2016 to 2017, the number of uninsured kids nationwide rose by more than 275,000, the first setback in 8 years. Joan Alker is with the Georgetown University Center for Children and Families.
When children's health needs are met, they're better able to learn in school and their parents miss fewer days of work. We need to make sure that we redouble our efforts to continue years of bipartisan progress to reduce the number of uninsured children.
The number of children without health care coverage in Kentucky stands at 41,000.
Former Appalachian coal miners and supporters were in Washington this week to urge lawmakers to extend a tax that benefits miners sick with black lung disease. The excise tax paid by coal companies funds the Black Lung Disability Trust Fund, but the tax is set to decrease by half at the end of the year. Calling it a matter of life and death, supporters say the fund could be in jeopardy without the extension. Kenny Fleming had to retire early from coal mining in eastern Kentucky when he got sick. He called the fund a lifesaver. Rates of black lung and incurable disease have been on the rise in Appalachia in recent years. House Republicans inserted a 1-year extension for the tax into a tax bill released this week.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center will be hosting their 32nd Advent Musicale at 6:30 this Sunday at the Ascension Episcopal Church. More than 30 community choir members and participating musicians under the direction of UK Opera Theatre Director Dr. Everett McCorvey will perform Christmas Oratorio. Bethany Goldie is the administration assistant at the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling. She says everyone is invited to the reception following the musicale.
What they generally do is have cakes and punch, waffle, Christmas sing-alongs, light appetizers. It's just kind of a way to thank the community for all the hard work on musicale, and then also to thank the musicians and the soloists and the conductors for spending so much time here in Montgomery County and helping us with this production.
Tickets are available online at Ruth's Hunts or at GRAC, and they're asking that the guests bring non-perishable food items to support the Sterling Community Food Coalition.
How will job cuts at Our Lady of Bellefonte affect the area? It's a question local officials are still trying to answer in the wake of this week's announcement by the hospital that it's reducing its workforce. Judge Executive Bobby Carpenter says it's a tough thing to see happen in his community.
They're our largest employer. The hospital was just a sad day. You know, these are talented people that I'm sure that other hospitals will grab them.
Preliminary estimates put the reduction at between 100 and 120 jobs, but Carpenter says that retirements and transfers will put the figure at only around 50 actual jobs lost. Bellefonte also said a number of the eliminated positions are currently vacant.
The process to raise an old dormitory building on the campus of Morehead State University began last week. Crews are currently removing all wood and sheetrock from inside Butler Hall, which is slated to be demolished in the coming weeks. Vice President of Facilities Management Kim Oatman said the process isn't as simple as knocking down the building.
When they'll haul that off, it goes to a certain kind of landfill, a construction and demolition debris landfill, which is really only for non-putrescible materials, things that won't rot. So they strip all that stuff out and get it, and it goes to one landfill. So when they start tearing it down, it's basically brick and concrete.
The Facilities Evaluation Task Force determined the aging dorm was costing the university money to maintain, and the Board of Regents voted to demolish it in June. The land will be returned to green space. Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area, tonight showers will be likely mainly after 3 a.m. with lows around 49. Chance of precipitation is 100%. Saturday, showers high near 60. Chance of precipitation is 90%. Saturday night, showers likely mainly before 10 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 51. Chance of precipitation is 60%. Sunday, a 20% chance of showers. Sunny with a high near 63. Taking a look at the temperatures, in Flemingsburg it is 52, in Maysville it is 52, in Ashland it is 51, in Inez it is 53, in Lexington it is 53, and in Moorhead it is 54.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff notices how a lot of the problems people talk about are problems they have with talking.
Consider the issues arising to the forefront of discussion lately. Many of them really are communication issues, and most of the rest of them will become communication issues before they are pressed down by the clutter of fresh messages. Ever since his name was mentioned, people have been discussing and disgusted by Donald Trump's communication style. This is fortunate because bombastic style makes for a constant diet of dramatic news. This is unfortunate because if a good idea were to come out of that mouth, people might be too distracted to notice. Those who love him appear to love him as well for his communication style, and those who detest him also, surprise, spend scads of time berating his communication style. Yes, for communication students and teachers, this is a field day. This is society playing out its debate over communication boundaries, appropriateness, competence, and effectiveness right before our eyes and ears. Thank you, society. And though I really never dreamed I'd say such a thing, thank you, Donald Trump. Other controversies really center on communication, even though they are not about communication style. Leaks are a communication problem. Fake news is a communication problem. Bias is often expressed as a communication problem. Why, communication called hate is in fact a crime of speech, providing yet another remarkable example for us to discuss in classes when the topic of who gets to determine meaning arises, just as it did for little Alice. And now we are left with that third category, issues which began as something else but ended up as communication issues, or rather are converted into communication issues, because that is the reliable go-to, the reified, almost deified word here is conversation. Listen and read closely to people talking about unsolvable or intractable issues. They want to start a conversation, investing talk itself with processual powers. Or, if action is attempted but fails, advocates can always claim, during the interviews and post-mortem, that at least we started a conversation. Conversation itself has been infused with almost magical powers, and people are scurrying around like mad, trying to start conversations. It's a problem, a communication problem. If we are right in defining many of today's most prominent issues as communication issues at root, we might do two things in response. First, since most of these problems are communication problems, we have every right to expect we can communicate ourselves out of them. And because the first is true, could be we are busy attending to pseudo-conflicts instead of more boring but more critical issues, such as the hurtling pyroclasm of debt that swallows scores of Americans and a piece of our nation every second of the day. Hey, wait, maybe that's a communication problem too, the worst kind, in fact, the kind that keeps knocking while we're all busy at the table fighting over pie. Hell, you're crazy. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. The time is 4:47. I'm Jacob Lindberg here with Peyton Stewart, and we're glad you joined us on this Friday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with six lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
The Eagles snap a three-game losing streak. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. Morehead State University's men's basketball team moved to 2-5 on the season today with a big win over Ohio Chillicothe, 103-50. The Eagles hosted around 3,500 area school children for the Education Day game. Head coach Preston Spradlin spoke with the Eagle Sports Network after the win.
We had a very balanced box score. The most anyone played was 21 minutes today. And so we got our young guys some opportunities to play. I thought we got better today, which is important. You know, we talked about the only thing we talked about in the pregame was defense. Can we talk? Can we defend? Can we sit down? Can we guard? And work on us in that regard. And then can we just take good shots offensively? And I think we did a really nice job.
The Eagles will have a 10-day finals week break before they face off with Marshall December 10th. Game time in Huntington is set for 7 p.m. The MSU women will host Evansville at 2 p.m. on Sunday. The Eagles are 6-2 on the season, coming off an 87-57 defeat at the University of Kentucky on Wednesday afternoon. The Aces are 1-4 on their season. They lost 72-62 in overtime to Marshall in Huntington last night. You can listen to that game live on the Eagle Sports Network or watch on the ESPN Plus app. The boys of Rowan and Bath County face off at 7:45 p.m. tomorrow night in Owingsville. The Wildcats are 0-2 so far, with home losses to George Rogers Clark and Morgan County to open the 2018-19 season. The Vikings took down Montgomery County on the road Monday 66-61 and squeezed by Greenup at home on Wednesday for a 56-52 victory. Rowan coach Sean Thacker says the records so far don't mean much going into Saturday's matchup.
You know, they came out and, they pressed for 32 minutes the first game. They pressed for 2.5 quarters last night, and they kind of changed their philosophy last night. So I guess he's going to keep me guessing on what he's going to do. But, you know, I think he'll press us some, but I don't think he'll go for the 32 minutes of it unless we just don't handle it very well.
In other EKC action this weekend, Fairview faces off with Lewis County, Morgan County matches up with Russell, and West and East Carter meet in the first round action. EKC tournament action begins tomorrow in the Bluegrass for the women's teams, and that means district tournament seeds are being planted early this season. Bath County will host a doubleheader on Saturday with Rowan County, and the girls tip off at 6 p.m. Coach Matt Stokes says the Lady Vikings are hoping for a big crowd.
They're high school kids. They like to kind of show people what they've done and how hard they worked. In our season, if you look, all of our district games are girl-boy doubleheaders. So, you know, one of the things I always tell the girls is they, you know, they want people to come watch them play to see how they're doing. I always tell them, you know, you got a crowd here, you got to show them something.
Rowan's gals are coming off a 76-42 win over Fairview at home to open their season. The Lady Lions are 1-1 so far, coming off a 66-38 win on the road Wednesday over Pendleton County. In other girls' regional action this weekend, Morgan County faces Russell, East and West Carter meet, and Lewis County faces off with Fairview. The 6-1 University of Kentucky basketball Wildcats are preparing to take on UNC Greensboro this Saturday in Lexington. The Cats are coming off a 90-44 victory on Wednesday. They're currently on a 6-game winning streak after losing their season opener to Duke on November 6th. UK head coach John Calipari said in a press conference after Wednesday's victory that the team may be doing well, but they'll have a tough road ahead.
What our teams usually are, we're getting closer, but now we got to play better competition every time we play. This next game is tougher. The game after that is tougher on the road. The next game at home is tough. The next game is really, and the next game is going to be ridiculously hard. And then guess what? We start in our league. That's my guess right now. If there's a stronger league in the country, we're one or two.
Tip-off on Saturday is set for 1 p.m. For the third year in a row, Johnson Central and Franklin Simpson High School will compete in the 4A KHSAA Commonwealth Gridiron Bowl. The teams face off at 4:30 p.m. tomorrow at Kroger Field in Lexington. The Eagles average 43 points per game this season with junior quarterback Riley Preece at the helm. The Wildcats, led by freshman Luke Richardson, average 42 points per game. Eagles head coach John Matney said his team has carefully considered their opponent to prepare for Saturday's game.
They have stars back from last year. You know, they have a star tailback and a star fullback. And, you know, they'll utilize their other players as well. So, I mean, it's not a real big secret. They like to run the ball, but when they need to, they can pass. So, I mean, it's a big task to try to stop them.
The Wildcats won the 2017 matchup 35-21. In 2016, Johnson Central swept the contest 48-0. In other high school football championship action this weekend, Pikeville and Beachwood are competing for the 1A championship this afternoon. Mayfield and Louisville Christian Academy face off tomorrow at 1 for the 2A title. Central and Corbin face off tonight at 7 p.m. in the 3A championship. 5A South Warren and Covington Catholic meet on Sunday at 2, and Mail and Scott County compete for a 6A honor on Saturday at 8 p.m. And finally, in sports this afternoon, the teams who will be playing in the Rose Bowl are close to being known. WMKY's Tilden Johnson has more.
Number 17 Utah plays number 10 Washington tonight for the Pac-12 title and a trip to the Rose Bowl. Utah, which moved to the Pac-12 in 2011, has made a bowl game the past 4 years, but it's seeking its first ever trip to the Rose Bowl this year. The Huskies are playing in the conference title game for the second time. They beat Colorado in the conference title game 2 years ago, earning a spot in the four-team playoff. Washington hasn't been to the Rose Bowl since the end of the 2000 season. The two teams met previously on September 15th, with the Huskies coming out on top at 21-7 at Utah, behind 143 yards rushing and a touchdown from Miles Gaskin. This marks the first time since 2010 that Washington has played the same team twice in a year. This year's Rose Bowl will pit the Big Ten against the Pac-12, and the winners of the two conference championship games will represent their respective leagues in the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support from MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Women's basketball welcomes Evansville this Sunday afternoon at 2:05 p.m. Single game and season tickets are now on sale from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. At 3:30, stocks were up after a Chinese official reportedly said the U.S. and China are finding common ground on trade ahead of a key meeting between President Trump and Chinese President Xi. And the Dow Industrials at 3:30 showed a gain of 170 points at 25,509. The S&P 500 was up 19.68 at 2757.44, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 45.75 at 7318.83. Reporters said that a Chinese official said that consensus is steadily increasing in U.S.-China trade talks. The official added that there were substantial differences that did remain between the two countries. And U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer said he expected the meeting to actually be a success, raising hope that a trade truce between the world's largest economies could be struck. Caterpillar was up 4.5%, and Boeing was up almost 1%. And, of course, these stocks are considered bellwethers for global trade because of their high exposure to foreign markets. Shares of World Wrestling Entertainment traded almost 7% higher after the company was upgraded by J.P. Morgan to overweight. After the analyst at J.P. Morgan noted the company's valuation is attractive compared to industry peers. Laboratory Corporation of America plummeted almost 10% after cutting their fiscal year earnings forecast. And in the commodities markets, oil was down 1.5% at $50.65 a barrel. In Europe, stocks were down slightly, with the Stock 600 index down 0.2%. In Asia, stocks did better, with the Nikkei up 0.4% and the Shanghai Composite up 0.8%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Caterpillar and Intel, while the worst performers were Goldman Sachs and Disney. In the S&P 500, the best performers were SVB Financial and Raymond James, and the worst performers were Laboratory Corporation of America and GE. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Kroger down 69 cents at $29.67, Community Trust Bank up 55 cents at $46.13, Walmart up 33 cents at $97.62, Anthem down $1.89 at $290.28, AK Steel down 5 cents at $309, and Marathon Petroleum was up 59 cents at $65.49. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Major Brands Tire and Automotive Service. Major Brands offers tire replacement with name brand tires such as BF Goodrich, Kelly, Uniroyal, and Michelin. Vehicle maintenance by certified technicians includes brakes, belts and hoses, steering, batteries, oil changes, and more. Walk-ins or appointments are welcome. Major Brands Tire and Automotive Service in Moorhead and Mount Sterling. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 1, and online at majorbrandstire.com.
The 34th Annual Appalachian Arts and Crafts Fair will be held inside the Laughlin Building at Morehead State University from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. tomorrow. More than 100 regional vendors will offer a wide variety of arts and crafts, antiques, and holiday decorations. Admission is $3.
Taking a look at the weather, tonight showers mainly after 3 a.m. with lows around 49. Chance of precipitation is 100%. Saturday, showers with a high near 60. Chance of precipitation is 90%. Saturday night, showers likely mainly after 10 p.m. Mostly cloudy with lows around 51. Chance of precipitation is 60%. Sunday, a 20% chance of showers. Sunny with a high near 63. Sunday night, increasing clouds with a low around 41. Monday, a 20% chance of showers after 2 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a high near 47. Taking a look at the temperatures, in Flemingsburg, it is 52. In Maysville, it is 52. In Ashland, it is 51. In Inez, it is 53. In Lexington, it is 53. And here on the campus of Morehead State University, it is currently 54 degrees.
That'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Leanne Akers, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Cody Robinson, Chaz Jenkins, Shamari Mosley, and Haley Stidham. Haley Hansen with the Kentucky News Network, and Hilliard Lyons Bud Luke with your stock report. And our feature commentary this afternoon comes from MSU professor Dr. John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Peyton Stewart and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.